This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike. Hello, and welcome to Boat Briefing, where we explore the stories shaping the world of superyachting. I'm Holly Majerison, the online editor here, and in this episode, we're taking you to the far edge of the chart, to French Polynesia, on board the 48-metre ocean-fast yacht Big Sky. This is not a destination you simply visit. It's one you experience slowly, moving between islands, connecting with local culture, and discovering a very different kind of luxury. During a recent charter fam trip, I was lucky enough to join a group of brokers to experience exactly what guests can expect here, from swimming with humpback whales to beach barbecues with local communities. In this episode, you'll hear from the yacht's charter manager, her captain, and a broker on board as we explore what it takes to operate in one of the most remote cruising grounds in the world. Anyway, let's start with the person behind the bookings and the vision, charter manager Cam Bray of the Superyacht People. So Cam Bray is Big Sky's charter central agent and charter manager, the link between the yacht and the outside world. I began by asking him what that role actually entails and why bringing brokers all the way out here on a fam trip is so important.
Thanks for having me on today, Holly, and I hope you've had a fantastic week on board, experiencing everything that's here. So we're the central agent for Big Sky, which means that we manage all the bookings and all the inquiries for the yacht, wherever they come from, whether it's through other brokers or through direct clients. We're the owner's representative. So we filter through all the inquiries and then, you know, discuss the itineraries, negotiate the rates, issue the contracts. So basically we're the conduit to the outside world for the yacht.
Yeah, and not a bad role to have, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty handy, I tell you. But, you know, we've got a fantastic owner who's very commercially minded. So he understands this is such a unique experience that no two charters are going to be exactly the same. And we need to work through to ensure that, you know, particularly coming into a region that people aren't familiar with, that we can hold their hand through that process.
Yeah, and really educate people. And so with this fam trip, you've invited seven other lucky guests on board to experience firsthand what a charter guest can expect. So we've got charter brokers from Ocean Independence, Fraser Monaco, Fraser US, Worldwide Boat, and of course, Hallie from the Superyacht People too. So other than just trying to rally the troops for seven nights of karaoke, canapes and copious glasses of rosé, can you expand a bit on kind of the purpose of this trip itself?
Yeah, sure. Look, because we are in such a remote location, it's not easy to come and inspect the yachts, you know, like in the Med or in the States, you know, there's boat shows all the time and there's open houses. And, you know, the brokers can go and visit those yachts at any time and meet the crew and get to know, you know, how suitable that yacht is for their clients. But because we are essentially in the middle of nowhere, we need to invite the brokers down to come in and really experience the region, meet the crew, spend a week with them and actually go through exactly what paying charter guests would do for the whole time that they're on board. And then they can understand, right, well, we'll do this tour for our clients, or we would do that experience for our clients, knowing that, you know, every client has a different type of need and want and way in which they use the yacht. So we just find that, you know, if they get to experience it themselves, you know, and capture that feeling, then share it with their colleagues and share it with their clients, there's a greater opportunity or higher chance of getting charter bookings out of it.
Absolutely. And I suppose it seems to me anyway that Big Sky is not transient like other yachts that are just doing a couple of months here in their world tour. It's kind of Big Sky is becoming the yacht in the area where you're building relationships with the locals and with the local suppliers to just really ensure that you're, I suppose, the authority here on French Polynesia as a superyacht destination, which then allows you to kind of not just create an itinerary, but really curate it towards all the different clients. So could you maybe talk us through some of the things that we've been doing this week?
Yeah, sure. And that's exactly right. You know, we find that the relationships that I have with the brokers as a charter manager is probably a little different to the traditional, you know, sort of broker charter manager relationship, in that there's a much greater reliance on us to provide, you know, the information around itineraries and experiences, because, you know, brokers can sell charters in the Med and the Caribbean with their eyes closed, you know, whereas there's a lot more trust involved and a lot more hand-holding. And so that's where, for us, that's why I think by having a yacht that we know is permanently based here for a longer period of time, then there's a greater trust in the crew to know that, you know, they do know the local suppliers really well, and they've had to been involved in the experiences. You know, they know the best spots to take them to see manta rays, like we did this morning. Yeah. You know, the best spots to go and swim with stingrays and reef sharks. They are the best spots to go and watch the whales. And so by having that experienced crew, we know that it gives the brokers a lot more trust and faith in securing the right boat, rather than, as you said, a yacht that's some on the world tour and they've come down the Panama Canal and then they're off to the rest of the Pacific. Mm. So what we've tried to do this week is give the brokers and yourself as much experience and exposure to everything that's here, from, as we said, swimming with the humpback whales to you know, visiting pearl farms and seeing how the Tahitian black pearl is created, visiting vanilla farms and understanding why the Tahitian vanilla is, you know, the most prestigious in the world, but also why it's so damn expensive, because it's so hard to create.
It gives you new appreciation for all of those things, but especially vanilla. Yeah. I now understand why I'm paying £10 upwards for some vanilla pods.
Yeah, and it's still a manual process of you know, pollinating the vanilla flower, which is quite incredible. And then, you know, some of the other experiences, like we said, we swam with some black tip reef sharks and stingrays, you know, into waist deep water, which was quite phenomenal.
Incredible.
Yeah, and then also understanding the history and the culture of the place as well. You know, there are some of the most beautiful people in the world here. They're so happy all the time and so kind and so generous, but they're so connected to their land. And it's such a spiritual place in that respect too. And seeing, you know, how they want to sort of share that, I suppose, and they're really connecting back to their roots after, you know, colonization. And it's funny, like the moment I've been thinking about it, you know, the first couple of days we had a bit of rain and it wasn't the best weather. But then we visited Raiatea and we went to, which is essentially the spiritual home of Polynesia and the setting of Moana, the movie.
Have to mention, because we did actually have a movie night where we then watched Moana afterwards.
Well, hey, who doesn't love toasties, a glass of red wine and a movie night?
So
just because we're on a super yacht doesn't mean it needs to be silver service every single night. You know, people still want to relax and watch a movie and
It's all about getting the balance right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're so overstimulated during the day in all the right ways, may I add. But, you know, by learning about all the culture and, you know, going snorkeling, it's actually a challenge out here. The current, it can sweep you out pretty quick.
yeah, absolutely. But that moment where, you know, when we left and our host Nike, you know, she said, "What can I wish for you for the rest of the trip?" And we all said sunshine. Mm. And we woke up the next morning, we had beautiful sunshine and blue skies, and it's been like that for the rest of the trip. And it sort of gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it gave us chills.
Maybe she was talking to the gods and because that is a spiritual home of this place. So it really does give you a different appreciation for, you know, something that's, you know, they're going to live this life whether we're here or not, you know?
100%, yeah. And I think with these trips and going to kind of remote places in the world, it can sometimes feel like cultural appropriation. But here I really think it's cultural appreciation, where people are really wanting to educate you and wanting you to really immerse yourself in the culture. And I think that's what we've been really lucky to experience. We've had the experts themselves telling us about, you know, all the history, and then, you know, like you're saying, the insider spots on the best places to go snorkeling as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really interesting fact that, you know, for a place like we said is so vast and so spread out, but there's only about 230,000 residents or citizens of French Polynesia. And comparatively, they only get about 230,000 tourists per year. You know, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. And to give you some context for that, by comparison, Hawaii gets 9 million tourists a year to 1.5 million residents. So, you know, that's about a 7-to-1 ratio. So you can really appreciate that, you know, it is, it's not over touristy. It's not overrun. As I said, whether tourists here or not, they're pretty much going to still live their same life.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see that it doesn't feel manufactured. It doesn't feel artificial. It just feels very organic and, you know, very welcoming.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, do you think that clients now book based on the kind of remote island appeal more than the yacht specifications?
I think so, yeah. Look, and I think that comes down to the education piece, right? Because they might think, oh, you know, it's all about diving or snorkeling or you know, everything under the water. But the beauty of hopping through the islands, of or the Society Islands in particular, is that you've still got a good mix of, you know, the land-based activities. If people do want to get ashore, there's still beautiful restaurants and resorts, and they can go and have massages and, you know, go on land tours, as well as, you know, if they were super keen on just diving and fishing, then, you know, maybe we'll do the Tuamotus, which is, you know, the atolls further out. And so there's a really good mix of itinerary options for clients.
Definitely. And I think in terms of the destination, it's obviously traditionally been overshadowed by the Caribbean and the Med and yachting, you know, in terms, well, just due to remoteness and limited infrastructure, but obviously recent investment in super yacht facilities in Tahiti, Raiatea, Bora Bora, and, you know, also new charter regulation framework means that French Polynesia is actively positioning itself as the next big remote luxury charter hub. And I guess it's kind of a place where it's more about, it's more experiential here compared to the Med, where it's about kind of just being seen.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I think, yeah, we you know, like we could call it Med 2.0, for example. But, you know, a lot of the inquiries that we're getting are not necessarily saying, right, we want to go to Tahiti or to Fiji or wherever. It's we want to go somewhere off the beaten track, somewhere remote, you know, where they're not going to come pull into an anchorage with 50 other yachts and you know, not be able to get a restaurant booking or you know, be sort of over touristy or having, you know, all these cruise ships sitting next to you. Whereas out here, it really is remote. But it's also, I think, that confidence in knowing that French Polynesia still has that French governance. And so they know that it's still, you know, a very modern country, and you're going to be able to get all the facilities and all the provisions that you want. And then, you know, by having, you know, some really good local agents here and you know, they've built the amazing marinas. And so, you know, there is really, I suppose, you know, and Tahiti tourism are very supportive of luxury tourism and yachting as well. And they've been very kind in supporting us with this. So I think that real, the support of the high yield tourism dollar is really what the place is looking for, rather than mass tourism.
I think so. And so I suppose people will be interested, you know, what is the why now hook for French Polynesia? Is it, you know, why should clients consider it in 2026? And is there a best time of year to charter here?
Well, I think we're seeing, you know, the Med is getting incredibly busy, you know, to a point that, you know, the yachts can't even get marina berths, you know. And I think, you know, that they're not saying that, you know, of course, the Med's always going to be the most popular spot and it's going to be the number one place. But now clients want to mix it up a little bit. And, you know, probably life is a bit more about experiences. There's increasing wealth in the world and then people wanting to spend time with families. So we're seeing a lot of multi-generational charters coming through here where you've got, you know, a chance to really have concentrated time together as a family. And I think that's probably the point of the why now is you know, we're seeing in this sort of post-pandemic world, you know, the first couple of years after the pandemic, people were staying very close to home in case there was another outbreak or another lockdown. So the Med was busy, the Caribbean was busy. But now that that's sort of well behind us, there's sort of, okay, there's that confidence to go further afield and book further ahead and book in advance. So, you know, we're booking charters 18 months in advance here. And so it just goes to show that people are really planning what they're, experiences they're going to have, you know, well and truly in advance, and there's that confidence that they can do that.
Definitely. And I think, you know, one of my takeaways from this week is that we're super connected here. We're in one of the most remote destinations in the world, but, you know, we've still got all the onboard luxury that one would expect as a charter guest, and yet this trip has all these really different excursions that are about connecting with the locals and tapping into that authenticity. So it's just kind of constant contrasts everywhere.
It absolutely is. And it's not something that you can really understand until you experience it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, how do you capture a feeling on a camera or, you know, or a little bit of a video? And it really is one of those places that it's an emotion and it's a feeling. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, would you say that charter clients are different when they come this far? Are they, you know, more adventurous, more relaxed? And what kinds of itineraries and experiences are they asking for?
Yeah, sure. So, look, there's definitely that adventure feel because that's the off the beaten track is the sort of term that's used. But like you said, they still want to feel like they're living in luxury,
yeah.
You know. So, like, the yacht's got all the toys. It's got the water slide, the jungle gym, the e-foil, jet skis, you know, paddle boards, sea bods, so they can still have all the toys that they would normally have in the Med.
Mm.
Yeah. But then we do have this amazing, you know, land-based sort of cultural, historical element. So we do find that, you know, well, one of the days we did a beach barbecue provided by the locals. And, you know, you land on the beach and here's this beautiful setup where, you know, they've gone out and caught fresh lobsters that morning and then they've got fresh tuna that's been caught that morning and then you're learning how to make the poisson cru, the ceviche, and you're learning the historical parts of their culture as well as experiencing this wonderful luxury while you're sitting there with the water lapping at your feet while you're eating lunch, you know. It's and it's like the captain saying, we've been saying to the captain, oh, what should we wear? And he's like, everything back here is relaxed.
Yeah.
It's linen shirts and shorts, you know.
So don't do what I did and just bring like hundreds of dresses. They're all gowns, not needed here. It's all about the floaty linens, plenty of swimwear.
That's right. That's right. Look, you can if you want to, you know, but that's also the beauty of it. You know, some clients don't want to get off the yacht and we have theme nights, you know, we play have karaoke. You know, Cards Against Humanity and things like that, whereas others want to do as much as they possibly can. So what we do say is that if it's your first time coming to French Polynesia is sort of do the Society Islands, which is the trip that we've done, which starts in Papeete or Tahiti and then across to Moorea. We do an overnight passage to Huaheine, and that's the only long passage throughout the whole charter.
Mm.
And that's done while we're asleep, and it's typically done in that fashion because you've got a following sea, so it's a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
And then from there we go to Raiatea, to Taha, and then across to Bora Bora. So we're sort of moving in that northwest direction because we've got the typical trade winds that are southeasterly.
Mm.
So that way you've got the wind generally behind you all the time, the swell generally behind you all the time, and it makes it the most comfortable trip for our guests. Then if we do get the repeat clients coming back, they might say, right, well, now we want to do the Tuamotus. We want to go and see what's out in these amazing atolls, which is, you know, much, much more remote. So there's that sort of variation that we can, you know, create with the itineraries. Mm. But I would say for your first time, this is a 10-day itinerary in the Society Islands is absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've obviously been to some of these islands before, but I know that you've not been to Bora Bora before.
No.
Your first time here.
Yeah.
So what are your takeaways from this?
You know, what really surprised me with Bora Bora is I just thought it was going to be overrun with bungalows everywhere and tourist boats and things. But it's so well done. It's so well laid out that those bungalow resorts, you know, they're almost hidden into the background and you barely even notice that they're there.
Yeah.
But we obviously have the luxury of being on board a yacht, which is, you know, far exceeds any on-water bungalow that you can ever stay in. But, I'm really, really impressed at it, you know, how well it's all laid out and how little it feels touristy. You know, even the cruise ships here only hold 300 people.
Mm.
So you don't, even if you wander into town, it's not like, you know, Mykonos Old Town where you've got six cruise ships out there and you're following someone along with a, you know, the yellow umbrella or whatever it is. You know, you don't get that feeling here at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's much more relaxed. And last night we had a great evening, didn't we? Going across to Bora Bora and just we had another beach barbecue. Crew were there as well. And we had the fire dances, which was just absolutely epic.
It was incredible. And that sunset, you know, behind the peak of Bora Bora. And then, to have the locals, again, they've all gone out and caught the fish and they've caught the lobsters and they've cooked it all for us. And then you just sit down and have that fire show, you know, the three guys doing the fire twirling and you feel the heat coming off it. Like, I can't imagine what it was like for them.
Yeah. I mean, that was just So impressive, wasn't it?
But again, it's all that's part of their culture. You know, it doesn't feel, again, it doesn't feel manufactured. No. But there's historical meaning behind it all as well. And then you've got the guys on the drums and the tender ride across to the shore with the tender driver or the little boat playing the ukulele and singing to us. Yeah. You know that that's just what they do as well. Yeah.
No, they did a great job in making it kind of really engaging for us as well.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing. We wanted this to feel authentic as well. That, you know, it's like just because you've come from all around the world and you're on this, you know, fam trip that you're not sort of going full speed the whole time and just ticking things off just for the sake of doing them. It's have time to enjoy them, soak it in, engage in the local culture and local experiences and be able to really appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think we could talk for hours about this trip and about all the fantastic sights and sounds and smells, but I think we will leave it there because we have a whole article coming out about the destination and about the yacht here. So we'll leave a few surprises for listeners. But if someone was thinking of chartering in the region next year, Cam, what would you tell them? Other than book Big Sky.
Of course. Reach out and have a conversation. You know, start to plan it like the earlier the better.
Yeah.
You know, because everything is so spread out here. Yeah, it's not like a typical med, you know, charter where you can turn it around in you know, 24 hours. You know, we do need a little bit more time, as particularly if there's specific provisions, we do need time to order them in. You know, so the sooner we can start, you know, your book and then have a conversation with the captain and start planning the itinerary, the better it's going to be for you and your guests.
Absolutely. Well, you heard it here first. Make sure to book Big Sky. Cam's the man. But yeah, thank you so much because it's been a fantastic week on board. It's been great for me to learn all about the charter side, about the destination and my camera role. I'm going to be sifting through all my content for weeks, if not years, I think, to come.
Absolutely. Yeah, some lifelong memories created.
Absolutely. And a great bunch of people. That's what's really made the trip as well.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming. And it's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Cam.
From managing the charter to delivering it on the water, the next perspective comes from the bridge. I spoke with Captain Brett Woodford about what it takes to run a 48-metre yacht in such a remote region. From navigating the Society Islands to provisioning in the middle of the Pacific, and why Big Sky has become something of an authority in these waters.
So to the northeast of us, we actually have the main island of Bora Bora, and then the island is encapsulated and encircled in a ring of the atoll islands. So behind us, we've got another little atoll area that's got one of the resorts on the backside of that, which is quite lovely. We've got 30 metres of water that we're in now, which is a real deep blue. And then just off to our starboard side, a couple of hundred metres is where it just comes up to about 2 metres, and it's beautiful, crystal clear, light blue. So that's kind of where we are at the moment in this lovely little bay.
Yeah, well, I was just saying it really should be a video podcast on Boat International.
True,
because
yes.
People need to see this, but we'll just have to, I have to do a really good job with my article.
Yeah.
And then that'll convince everyone to be booking a charter on Big Sky.
Paint the picture because, yeah, off our port side, the island, the main island of Bora Bora, yeah, you got this picturesque blue water, then it just hits this lush green, all these different tones of green, and then the mountain behind it just climbs up high in the sky.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you've obviously cruised from Tahiti through Huaheine, Raiatea, Taha, and now Bora Bora. And it's just been this string of lush volcanic peaks and turquoise lagoons. So what's been the most memorable leg for you?
The most memorable leg? Interesting legs. I think from Huaheine to Raiatea, I always enjoyed that leg there because normally we're departing sort of in a morning time. So it's still quite calm. The sun's still rising and we're just in cruising out of the bay of Borain Bay as we leave Huaheine on our way out through towards Raiatea. And you can actually see Raiatea and Taha on the western side where we're departing to. And those islands just seem to grow out of the water. And it's only a short little journey. We can do it in 2 to 3 hours, depending on what the sea conditions are like. And that way, then we just move with the flow. So guests can be having breakfast whilst we're underway. So it's just a nice little arrival into Raiatea or Taha as well, because we typically, those entrances, there's little islands on either side of the entrance. So as we come through, it's quite, you know, narrow, but still, again, quite deep, 30 metres as we go through that pass as well. So I think that's one of my favourite ones.
Absolutely. And not a bad place to be sat having your breakfast as you kind of suddenly, when you look out the window, you're like, oh my God, the scenery has just changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Just beauty everywhere. So, you know, what makes cruising the Society Islands unique from a captain's perspective? How has the area evolved as a superyacht destination over the years?
I love it out here because it is just, it's back to nature. It really feels like that. You know, I've cruised destinations all around the world. And again, the commercial viability of those islands that I've cruised back then and those locations, it's just grown and grown and grown. And out here, it's still quite natural, which I guess is what I take out of these islands and the cruising area. So there's that kind of natural beauty in the people that also makes it.
Oh yeah, we were just saying it's been such a great experience kind of engaging with them, and people really want to teach you about the islands, about the culture, about the history.
Yeah, they have a passion about their culture, and that's what I find fascinating.
Definitely. And so, you know, from a captain's perspective, would you say that there's challenges to running a 48-metre yacht in this region that guests perhaps like us, that we haven't noticed?
Yes, there is. And I mean, we've sort of discussed it in some of our little sort of just talks that we've had of an evening. And it's the provisioning side is, I guess, the most difficult. Mm-hmm. Even though we've got great access to some great provisioning here, everything that is here is brought in. Yeah, whereas guests typically who've charted previously are in the Mediterranean or the Caribbean or Bahamas and things like that. Even though they're islands, they're still, it's very, very common to have boats daily or flights, a lot of flights. When you're out in the exact middle of the Pacific, everything is either flown or it's shipped. And with that, if it's shipping, it's a 2-week delivery by ship as a minimum, but you've got to arrange it months ahead. Simple things, some of the things that maybe some of the charter guests, the wines, for example, they've got specific wines that they really, really, really want. We may not be able to get those here, but if we're given time, yes, we can get those, but they will be flown in as opposed to shipped in. So I think that's the big thing, is the provisioning is what we really need to try and get the information from our clients to get that ahead of time, and that makes things easier that way.
Yeah.
But everything else we can typically get here, it's the shipping that is the big keynote out here.
The difficult bit. So when a guest, for example, orders 300 toasties and then you suddenly need extra bread, could be a struggle, huh?
Funnily enough, we had that a couple of weeks ago. So
I was like, I knew that.
we react well. We have great contacts back in the island of Tahiti and Papeete in the town there. So we were able to organise additional provisions, got them on the local aircraft, worked out what dates those flights are, got it shipped out there, and then we took our 34-foot tender and picked those up. And the guests hadn't even woken up by the time that they were on board. So.
Well, I was just about to say, Big Sky's crew, you know, this week have created some incredible moments, both on board and on shore. So we've had, you know, the beach barbecue with the locals, which I was saying was my personal highlight. And then just how all the local partnerships have given us the opportunity to just, you know, tour vanilla farms, rum distilleries, Black Pearl Farm, and obviously plenty of snorkeling. And how do you prepare for those? How have you kind of managed to create those relationships with the local partners?
We do have a great local agent that we use, and they're very beneficial in that. So I can put a lot of my contacts down to them and their introductions through there. Plus, as we walk around, we also do meet the locals. They come across, and we've had tenders and boats come up to the back of us and start to have a conversation, which is really great. Very friendly people, as I said, and we've just developed those over the time that we've been here. We have actually been out here for over a year now. On two different occasions. So, we've built up that rapport. The boat, people recognize the boat and they understand the name Big Sky as being out here. And, we look after our supplies out here as well, because that way then they in turn look after us that time that I picked up the phone, and things just tend to happen, which is great.
Well, I was saying to Cam earlier that it's It's not like other yachts that kind of pass through for a couple of weeks or a couple of months on a world tour. It's Big Sky is the yacht in the area, and that's helping you to kind of become the authority and really have the, you know, that rapport with the locals, which is super helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the locals are lovely people. They're willing to have a good conversation with you back in the marina in Tahiti. You know, you have a chat with some of the other boat captains, the local guys, and they're freely willing to actually give a conversation and have that information. They won't give out everything, but that's our trade, but they're very helpful, which is great.
And so how do you manage APA on charter trips? Do guests tend to overspend or underspend in this region?
No, I think the APA that is set with the contract is the right amount. It's the percentage base is worked out really well. Fortunately, with the way that we cruise, the vessel's reasonably fuel efficient, so we can actually save a little bit on that. The itinerary and the plan that we make, typically we go with the trade winds. So again, we're not pushing against it and that kind of thing. So the APA is balanced quite well, I believe. We typically end up around about 20 to 25% of the APA. So again, that's through us utilizing our own provisioning and doing our own sourcing on the island ourselves. You know, the chef goes to the local markets and gets the local produce that way. You're paying in cash because of the just the way that the banking system is out here. So again, that's another area in itself. But, you know, so we definitely put more into it to be able to give the guests that better provisioning experience as well in that respect. So the APA, keeping in touch with the clients as we're going through the charter time that they're on board, keeping them aware, and then we sum it all up at the end there, and they're quite happy with the spend.
I'm sure. And what do you think surprises guests about chartering in the region?
The beauty of it.
Yeah.
Just being able to, some of the anchorages we go to, just stepping off the back, the front of the boat's in 30 metres, the back of the boat's in 5 metres. They really appreciate that. And just the beauty of the area, the colours. Mm-hmm. So I think that's sort of a big aspect that they take away from here.
I think so. I mean, pictures, before I came on this trip, I thought, oh yeah, it looks a beautiful place. And when you get here, everything even just looks superimposed. That's what I keep saying. Nothing actually looks real. Incredible.
And again, it's things like we're in whale season, so we can pull into some of the bays here. And there's a mother and calf. The other day we pulled in, there was a mother and calf just playing around, off to our port side. And it was just that type of thing is just, you don't really get in the Mediterranean at all. Another bay we pulled in, and there was a bunch of little spinner dolphins just sitting there playing under our bow. Yeah. So again, each day has its own adventure. And they're the sort of things that you can't plan. They're the things you hope for, but that's what we can just sort of find, and that's part of the amazement of being out here.
Absolutely. And have you got any memorable charter stories in French Polynesia or on Big Sky in general?
we managed to have a charter that was 2 weeks last year in last season there, and amazing people on board, and they had a few requests that we managed to pull out of the bag for them. And I'm pretty sure the locals enjoyed those as well. So it's making people's dreams reality out here. That gives us that memorability that we're able to achieve, most of the things that's on a bucket list for clients while they're out here. So I can't give away all the details, but they went away very happy. We managed to make that birthday party really special for these clients.
I'm sure. And I guess, thinking about an itinerary, how long would you suggest that guests come out here for? 10 days?
It's usually around a minimum of 8 to 10 days. Yeah, that's a nice amount of time. It gives us quality time at each of the islands to explore them and explore them well, but also not just the exploring of the island, but exploring of the water as well. With the amount of water toys that we have on board here. The guests love that. They just sort of enjoy just cruising around the bay on on one of our Sea-Doos. Mm. And other times, a nice little beach party that we've set up for them. So 8 to 10 days, that gives us plenty of time to cruise through the islands here. And that's just the Society Islands. We also still have the Tuamotus to the north of us as well that you can explore. And we can explore both at the same time. Again, it's all just down to planning that itinerary with the trades.
Yeah. Finally, when you switch off the engines at night and everyone's asleep, what does it sound like out here? It's pretty- not on karaoke night, may I add?
The cold knife, yeah.
So sorry.
It is lovely out here, especially when you get lovely clear nights. Mm. You can sit up under the bow, even up on the sun deck on the sun pads up there. And that area there, you just lie back and it's quiet, it's peaceful, and it's dark out here. Mm. So you get very, very minimal light pollution out here. So when the stars come out, they are out and it is beautiful. It really is.
Well, I think I can speak on behalf of all of us that have been on board this week that, you know, just a massive thank you to yourself and to all the crew, because we've just had the best time.
Yeah, very welcome.
And, you know, what an experience. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I keep saying. I hope it's not. I hope I'll be back.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, we really, really appreciate everything that you've done for us. And
it's been fantastic having you on board as well and all the people. It's what we do. We love it out here. We enjoy the conversation and the interaction with our clients as well. So we get out of it as not as much maybe, but we do get out of it as well, that interaction side of things and the play.
Absolutely. Well, Captain Brett, thank you so much.
Very welcome.
Finally, I spoke with charter broker Hallie Scott, who joined the trip to experience the itinerary firsthand. For brokers, trips like these are about more than just seeing a destination. They're about understanding how it feels so they can better match clients to yachts, places, and experiences. What's it been like this week to actually live the itinerary that you'll be selling?
I would say it has been transformative, really. I think it's one thing to sit behind a desk and sell an experience, but when you get to live it, you get to understand it and speak on your experiences, and it changes everything. I think we've gotten such a better sense of not only the different islands and how each one is different, but what experiences we're able to offer to our guests. I think each client is looking for something different, and by fully experiencing what these islands have to offer, we're able to better tailor and make recommendations to our clients based on that. And on top of that, this experience for me personally as a broker has been transformative, because I'm getting quality time with top brokers from around the world, where we're based in Australia. We don't really get that often, and we see people every now and then at the boat shows and we catch up and it's lovely, but to have one-on-one time with experts in the field and getting to learn from them has also been a major takeaway for me personally.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's quality time with all the experts. I mean, it's the same for me. I'm not doing charter brokering, but just to learn about this whole industry and how it operates has been so insightful.
It's been amazing.
And would you say that clients are kind of showing more interest in the region right now?
Definitely. I think the Med and Caribbean have always more or less had their moment, their time in the spotlight, but more and more people are looking to expand their horizons, see new things, have new experiences. I think the Med and the Caribbean, you know, sometimes you want the glitz and the glam, or you just want to sit on the back of a yacht and drink some rosé, which is all good and fine, and you can do that here. But here you also are really immersed in the culture, and you're able to get these incredible cultural experiences that are really different from what's available in the Med or the Caribbean.
And what are they asking for here? Is it kind of more cultural immersion, wellness, sustainability?
I would say everything. So each client is different. It feels a bit like a cop-out, but it's so true. As I mentioned, you can sit on the back here and drink champagne and rosé. You can go to the private islands and have a private lunch. You can go swimming with whales, which was amazing. And there's opportunities for adventure here. We've also learned so much about the cultural opportunities for experiences on shore. There's a lot of pride around these islands, and getting to spend time with the locals and learn about their culture, their heritage, and just seeing, yeah, how proud they are. I would say what clients are asking for varies. But yeah, here, I think one of the unique things is that they have so many different options. And you also have all the yacht options, like the water sports and toys, scuba, snorkel. We've been to Vanilla Farms twice now. Each of those were so different as well. So it really has been amazing to be here and just understand what our clients can experience.
And what guests will love to know is that there are yacht clubs here. So not quite Monaco Yacht Club, but they're a bit more rustic, a bit more charming, but I think
a bit more charming
to it. Yeah.
It's definitely a bit more charming, a bit more laid back. You could probably go barefoot. I don't think the Monaco Yacht Club would let you in barefoot.
Different dress codes.
Yeah. But I think that's also what some of our clients are liking. You get the luxury of a super yacht, but at a really slowed down, laid back pace. You can wear a t-shirt and shorts probably barefoot if you want. You might not even need a shirt in some of these places. But I think it allows the clients to just relax, because especially in a world where we're so go, 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 even if you go on these yacht charters, sometimes it's hard to disconnect. And being in such a remote place like French Polynesia allows you, I think it makes it a little easier to disconnect. And when the yacht club is laid back, that helps too.
Absolutely. And when the rum punches are as strong as that, then
yeah,
and it really helps you to relax.
And when we went to the yacht club in Huahine, even just for some drinks before going back on board, it was like the owner came by and spoke to us. And I think that just goes to show the difference here versus some of these bigger places. You're rarely going to get to spend time face to face with the owner of the yacht club coming out and checking on you and making sure that everything is up to your standards and expectations.
Yeah, it's much more personable. And so we've had a jam-packed week in terms of the itinerary. Which moment this week would you most want to replicate for a client?
This is hard. This is really hard. I wish I could take the highlights of each day and put it into one, because the beach barbecue was so amazing. I think that is a must in every client itinerary. If you're going to come here, it's kind of the perfect blend of getting the cultural experience, but the private luxury side of it as well. And we got to play games and hang out with the crew. So it kind of is the perfect thing. But at the same time, I got to go swimming with humpback whales for the first and maybe last time in my whole life. And if my client is big in ocean animals, that's a must do. So it's hard.
And it was quite unique for us because we were even involved in a rescue mission halfway through.
We were. I wish I could say that was the first rescue mission I've been involved in after swimming with whales, but it's not. But yeah, it's just, you know, things don't always go to plan. So we were out there and we saw a calf and a mom and they were swimming through and it was unreal. There are regulations. So we work with provisioners and suppliers that have the government permits that allow us to slip in with the whales if the conditions are right, which we were lucky enough that they were. And the whales stayed around, which was amazing. But right before we were going to get to go back in, there was a sailboat in distress. And of course, it's the right thing to do is help bring them to safety and make sure everything is smooth sailing. No pun intended.
Just added to the thrill of the day, I think.
Exactly.
And how does being on board this week, how does that help you better advise charterers?
Yeah. So not only understanding the experiences that we can suggest to them, but also understanding, I would say, the pace and the rhythm to this island life. I think you get a better sense of island time, right? Everyone's like, oh, I'm on island time. And here you really get to see and understand what that means. I think it helps also just for a bigger picture of the lay of the land as well, understanding the distance between the islands. And we are really in the middle of the ocean. And you can look at a globe or map and kind of wrap your head around it. But being here, you just get to feel exactly how remote this is. And as Captain Brett, I think, mentioned, I was the importance of preferences. We are just in the middle of nowhere. And when you're here and you understand that as a broker, I think it helps me to really make sure I communicate that with my clients and say, we can provide the things you want, but you need to let us know what you want.
In advance and be specific.
Yeah. Be specific. And yeah, I think that that's one of the biggest takeaways I've had from being on board, the distance between islands. And yeah, that they still, this crew is amazing. And even though we're in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't feel like it, and that all of our requests have been tended to and they've gone above and beyond, but it's preference sheets.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, it kind of leads quite nicely onto the next question, but are there any misconceptions about distance or logistics that you would want to clear up for future guests?
Absolutely. I know I just mentioned we're in the middle of nowhere, which we are, but it's not actually that hard to get to. There's direct flights from LA. It's about 9 hours. I flew from Sydney, which is about 9 hours with a stopover in Auckland. I do believe they either have direct flights right now from Paris or they're going too soon. That's a far long flight. But once you get here, it's so worth it. I think, you know, you spend a day or two at a hotel before. If you want to settle in, sleep in, you get right on board. And as long as you are communicative in the planning process, everything has been pretty streamlined for us. So even though, yes, it is far, I would say it is so worth the journey.
Absolutely. I think we can all vouch for that this week.
Speaking of, how long is your travel back?
I don't want to think about that.
But worth it?
So worth it.
Would you do it again?
Oh, 100%. In a heartbeat. So if anybody is willing to have me back, I'll be here. No problem. Yeah, I think it was about 22 hours of travel on the way out. Just light work. But on the way back, I am breaking it up slightly. So
The thing is, I do live in Australia, so I It's like, for me, that's going home. Oh, that's going anywhere.
That's nothing.
No big deal.
No big deal.
I was going to LA to see my family for something. My mom was like, I don't think you should come from Sydney. It's pretty far. And I was like, what do you mean? Just 13 hours. Like, she's like, just 13 hours. I'm like, that's actually the shortest flight I can take to see anybody I know.
Yeah, you kind of, you feel completely out of touch.
Yeah.
What is a normal length of flight?
So I'm like, 22 hours, not ideal, but like, worth it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, anyone in Europe is like, anything over an hour, not flying, not going. Okay, and finally, to wrap up, if you had to describe chartering the region in one word, what would it be?
A word that I've used more times on this trip than I have in the last 20 years is idyllic. I think every time I turn one way or the other and we're going around the bend and then you just see 50 shades of blue, like it really is, it's like a postcard, but better. It's not like a pinch me moment. Everything is so picture perfect. Even on the rainy days, the rain comes through and kind of just like sets over the island.
Yeah.
No, even without the ideal weather, it's like this place really is so idyllic. I think the people are so genuine and they're so happy. Every experience we've had with a local has just been so nice. And maybe it goes back to that slow island pace. I don't know what it is, but the rhythm of the water, the smell of the vanilla in the air. It's like we swam with manta rays this morning and they just kind of hung out. Like even the manta rays are on island time.
Yeah.
And you don't get all of these things converging.
No.
Anywhere one place. And every day I'm like, we're sitting at breakfast and I'm like, would you just look out the window? Like who would have thought? And I mean, the boat ride the other day, when we were on that canoe with that outrigger and the net, I'm just like, the hardest thing is wanting to live in the moment and not be on my phone taking pictures and videos, but also wanting to capture it all because I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. Like the colors are so vibrant. The grass is so green. The mountains are so lush. All the volcanic ash and soil. It's just like, they have so much here. It's idyllic.
Yeah.
I even talking to Nike at the sacred site, I think she was saying that Raiatea, the heart, the sacred heart of French Polynesia, is a place of abundance. And I think that you can see that from looking around. They have too much water. They have such green plants and nature. I think that with the abundance in their own world, it also leads into their own, they're not a group of people that are worried.
No.
They don't seem very stressed out. They seem, again, pretty happy. And all of those things, I think, kind of culminate to make it just such a
joyful place as well. Yeah,
it's just idyllic.
It's idyllic. I would agree with you. It's paradise, isn't it? And it's going to be a real crash back to reality for all of us, I think. And I'm having my breakfast in the Wimbledon office. It's not going to quite cut it. I'm not going to have mountains and mountains of food for a start,
which maybe is a good thing.
I think if I was on board any longer, I would actually explode. But I will miss the views. I will also miss my roomie. Hallie and I have been roomies.
We've been bunked up all week.
I'm gonna miss it all. Really,
I'm gonna miss the crew. They have been going above and beyond every moment that they can. I mean, the chef's food every meal. I wish I could take her home with me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to miss the girls that come in and clean our room every day. I'm sorry to them.
We can only apologize.
Sure.
And they're working on Ali.
Well, of course you do. But I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it all for sure. This has been, again, a transformative week. And I'm so thankful to have experienced it.
Absolutely. You and I both. It's just been amazing. And I'm super, super grateful to everyone that's made it happen. So
even some of the other brokers, I'm like, wow, this is my first fam trip and how good, right? And they're like, it's not always.
You don't always get this good.
They're like, you kind of messed up with this being your first one. It's not all this good. So
it can only get better.
That's not what they said, but I love your optimism and I'm with you.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see. See you on the next fam trip, I guess.
I hope so. If anyone needs anyone bunking up.
Yep, we're happy to share.
I prefer any.
Right, okay. Before we continue to yap and yap and yap all day, I think we'll leave it there.
But Harry,
thank you so much for joining me. And for anybody that's interested in learning more about our trip, make sure to stay tuned for the full article, which will be in BI in print and online also. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Thanks, Holly.
That was charter manager Cam Bray, Captain Brett Woodford, and broker Halley Scott on board Big Sky in French Polynesia. As this trip made clear, chartering here isn't about ticking off destinations. It's about immersion, about slowing down, connecting with a place, and experiencing a kind of luxury that goes beyond the yacht itself. To read the full feature on this journey, pick up the latest issue of Boat International or head online. This was a production of Boat International Media, sponsored by Amico & Co. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Boat Briefing.